from God's Word, from 2 Peter 3, 18 to 15, a great passage of Scripture we're going to look at this morning. Let's read it. If you can see the words up top, it's a little bit smaller than what we're used to, but let's read it together. But forget not this one thing, beloved, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering to youward, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall be dissolved with fervent heat, and the earth and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing that these things are thus all to be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy living and godliness, looking for and earnestly desiring the coming of the day of God, by reason of which the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. But according to His promise, we look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for these things, give diligence that ye may be found in peace, without spot and blameless in His sight, and account that suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given to him, wrote unto you. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now that passage is from the ASV, Authorized Standard Version, but it's a passage of Scripture that helps us to focus on what is a future. The coming. It talks about the coming, the day of the Lord. Now we can understand that in many, many different forms, many different formats. All you boys and girls, you have a good time out back, okay? We are talking today about the fourth fruit of the Spirit, which I know that many of us are very much interested in, because we're all the time asking more of it, for more of it, and that is patience, patience. There's a story told about a small boy who was sent to bed by his dad. And 5 minutes later, the little boy says, "Dad, what?" the dad said out in the other room. "I'm thirsty. Can you bring me a drink of water?" "No. You should have had a drink before you went to bed. Go to sleep." 5 minutes later, the little boy says, "Dad, what?" His father said, "I'm thirsty. Thirsty. Can you give me a drink of water?" "I told you no," his dad says. "And if you ask again, I'll have to come in there and I'll have to spank you." Well, a few moments went by. "Dad, what?" Dad said, "When you come in to spank me, will you bring me a glass of water?" Well, everybody's patience was wearing a little bit thin there. And so it is for most of us when it comes to patience. It's one of the fruit of the Spirit that's probably one of the most difficult, to be patient. Our goal for this series is to be patient, is to enjoy the fruit of the Spirit living in us and through us, to see that the Holy Spirit will do for us what we cannot do for ourselves, to fill us with the fruit of His presence. And for this reason, a fundamental part of this study is that I have encouraged all of us to begin each day with a very simple prayer. And it was a prayer that was written and said by the Reverend Dr. John Stott, an Anglican bishop in London, England. And his prayer makes so much sense. And I've been trying to pray this prayer myself as a believer in Jesus Christ, because God only knows that I need all of these ingredients to make my life more fruitful and more productive. And so here's the prayer. It's on the overhead here. And I'm going to get you to read it with me. And I'd love you to take ownership of this prayer, because it is beautiful. Let's pray it together. Holy Spirit, I pray that this day you will fill me with yourself and cause your fruit to ripen in my life. Love, joy, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's the fruit of the Spirit right there. All of those nine things, nine ingredients to make us more fruitful and to make us more holistic in the presence of God. I want us to look at this fourth quality of the Spirit's fullness today, that of patience. In our age of hyper-connectivity, patience is really becoming a lost art. Don't you agree? It's a lost art. More and more, we expect things to happen immediately. That's why many of us carry these little gizmos around in our pockets, because we want to see things happen immediately. We are the most impatient culture ever known to man, basically, because of our impatience. We want everything instantaneously. And so this is one of the things that we want today. Some of you may remember, and it used to be, whenever you purchased an item via mail order, back in the day of Sears and Roebuck catalogs, you were reminded in small print, please allow 4 to 6 weeks for delivery. You remember that? Remember that? Well, guess what? Things have changed. And now, everybody orders things up. Instead of getting in their car and going down to the local Walmart or Target, they're doing it online. And Amazon has become a zillion-dollar business because of instantaneous shipping. And instead of waiting now 4 to 6 weeks, what is it? 2 to 3 days. It's unbelievable. That's how far we have come along in the last little while. It used to be that you would call somebody on the phone and they weren't home. And you would listen to the phone ring and ring and ring and ring. Remember that? That's all you would hear. No machine picked it up. And if they weren't home, if they were home and on the phone, you get a busy signal. But you can't leave a message. And no matter how much you needed to or wanted to speak to the other person on the other end, you had to wait. You had to wait. And now we've got these things. You can send a text message. You can leave a message. You can do Skype. Unbelievable ways of communicating with your loved ones, especially. It used to be that doing business internationally could take next to forever to get something done on the other side of the border. You had to wait for the mail to find its way halfway around the world and find its way back again. And today, of course, you just sign a contract and you send the PDF as an attachment and you're as good as gold. Everything's taken care of. You could say that patience today is in short supply. Unbelievable how much it is in short supply. All you need to do is get into traffic going down Route 1 into Boston, and you'll see how much people are impatient. Maybe even tops them, I don't know, at times. And I drove somebody to Quebec City the other day, and they come out of Miami, Florida, of all places. And we get up and way out in the western side of the state over in Jackman, and there was no cars. And they couldn't believe it. We were on a road where there was no cars. Nobody was on the road. Couldn't believe that. And they told me, you know, down Miami, Florida, everybody is pulling their hair out in about 2 minutes once they get out on the highway. So we see examples of patience, impatience everywhere. And we look closely enough, and if we listen to the Holy Spirit, we will also catch examples of impatience in our own lives. The culture has driven us to be impatient in many different ways, in many different forms. And we are an impatient people. Now, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. But the fruit of the Spirit is also patience. Patience. And like every aspect of the Spirit's fruit, this is a quality in our lives as Christians that God has called us to cultivate. Just as you would cultivate your garden, just as you would cultivate your potatoes or your beans or your corn, God has called us to cultivate patience. P-A-T-I-E-N-C-E. Patience. Now the question is, do we have it? And are we cultivating it? Maybe it's an area for us to work on. I know it is in my life. And I'm sure you have room to grow too. Fruit of the Spirit is patient. And if we're to cultivate patience, there's three key areas in our lives that we must look at. Three key areas. Number one, patience is a willingness to wait just a little bit longer. Patience is a willingness to wait just a little longer. Or as they say over in good old Scotland, patience is a willingness to wait a wee bit longer. And so the question is, are we willing to wait a wee bit? A wee bit. I wish I could say it in the Scottish brogue. But a wee bit. Patience is a willingness to wait just a little bit longer. Now this may seem obvious, but it's a willingness we need to cultivate. It's not something that comes automatically. It's not something that's necessarily natural in our lives. When we're impatient in certain situations, sometimes our impatience isn't only with the situation, it's with the one who controls the situation. And I'm talking about our Heavenly Father. We have a tendency to complain to God, don't we, when things don't come together as quickly as we like. And many times we blame God for holding things up, for making things miserable for us. Have you ever been in that situation? You're praying for a job, maybe, or for healing in your life, or maybe you're praying for a resolution for a financial problem or a relationship problem, and every day the situation, instead of coming together, instead of things working out, every day it seems as though the problem is getting larger and larger, or bigger and bigger, if you will. And God doesn't seem to be in nearly as much as a hurry as we'd like. and we wish God would hurry up. You ever been there? I have. Andy Stanley, some of you may know Andy Stanley, he's the son of Charles Stanley, who was a famous Southern Baptist preacher down in the South. He said, when it comes to waiting for the right time, he says, we tend to look at the clock, but God looks at the calendar. We tend to look at the clock, but God looks at the calendar. Now, how true that is in all of our lives. Have you ever seen anybody just pacing and looking at their watch? And they just can't seem to sit still or stand still. They're looking at the clock. That's all they do. And we live in this fast-paced culture where it seems as though if we don't show up for a doctor's appointment on time, guess what? We don't get to see the doctor. If we don't show up to get our car in to the garage to get repaired or serviced, guess what? Our vehicle does not get repaired. Our vehicle does not get service. So we are constantly looking at the clock, at the watch. How many people said this morning, I got to hurry up and get to church? How many people this morning said, you know, I got to be there on time? Now, I tend to try to be early as much as I can. I guess I'm conditioned to doing that with my chauffeuring work. Usually 10, 15 minutes before I'm supposed to be there, I get there. I have a wife that's totally the opposite. She is totally the opposite. It drives me bananas. It drives me bonkers. I get impatient with that. I get impatient with people that don't show up on time. I get impatient when people are not punctual. Someone told me once that punctuality is next to godliness. And I think there's some truth to that. And maybe it's in the Bible. I don't know. But it's inferred. It's certainly suggested. And so we need to look at that. We tend to look at the clock, but God looks at the calendar. God looks at the big picture. That's because His timing is perfect. And He knows so much more about the situation than you or I will ever know about the situation. And one of the things that He knows that we often so forget is that the simple act of waiting will make you a better person. Wow. You're saying, well, if that's the case, I must be a good person already, because I've waited and waited and waited. There was an interesting study conducted by Stanford University back in the 90s that teaches us something about this. And I looked at this and found it and thought it would be interesting to share. The study was something along these lines. And for brevity's sake, I've simplified it a little bit. That children were offered a marshmallow. That's right, a marshmallow. Or some other little treat. And they were told, you can have one marshmallow now, or you can have two marshmallows in 20 minutes. Some kids said, well, 20 minutes? Who wants to wait 20 minutes for a marshmallow? I'll have mine now. Another kid said, 20 minutes is nothing. I'll hold out for a second marshmallow. And over the course of the decades, unbelievable what universities spend their money on, but this is a study on marshmallows. Over the course of decades, here is what that study on marshmallows determined. The children who were able to delay their gratification were more successful as adults. That was a proven fact that came as a result of this study with dumb little marshmallows. I don't even like them. And so, if you were able to delay your gratification, the scientific data that's come in, and maybe you don't need to be a brain surgeon to understand this, but if you delayed your gratification with those marshmallows, it meant that these people had lower rates of divorce. These people had lower rates of addiction issues. They weren't caught up with addiction of alcohol, drugs, tobacco, anything like that. They had higher SAT scores as a result. They had better salaries. And the other interesting determination, what was found, was they were less likely to be overweight. Well, some of us really goofed there. Isn't that amazing? Practicing patience, the ability to delay gratification just a little bit longer, makes you a better person and gives you a better life. Now, that's done in some of our most prestigious universities, that study. Many times we think we're waiting until God is finally ready to resolve a situation. But the truth could be that He is waiting until you are ready. The truth is, it's in His time, that He is waiting for you to become the person He has created you to be, a person conformed to the image and the likeness of Jesus Christ, filled with the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Now, interesting verse in the book of Habakkuk. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 3. I want you to look at it. If you have your Bibles, look at it. Maybe you brought your Bibles. I hope you brought your Bibles this morning. Look at what it says. If you can't find Habakkuk, it's in there. It's on page 967 in my Bible. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. Now, these words were spoken by the prophet Habakkuk in a specific situation for his day and time, and they apply to you and to me today. They're very relevant words for you and for me today. The solution to your situation will come, Habakkuk says, at the appointed time. It may not be today. It may not be tomorrow. It may not be next week. But it will come at an appointed time. And what's the appointed time? We don't always know what the appointed time is. We don't understand necessarily what the appointed time will be. But God says it will be according to the appointed time. For such a time as this, God has brought us together. For such a time as this, He has given us all the blessings of life. He's given us all the relationships of life. He's given us all the amenities and all the empowerments we need for such a time as this. Right now, today, God has given us His blessing. We don't know about tomorrow, do we? Things could change very, very quickly tomorrow. It could be health. It could be financial. It could be relational. A lot of different things. Patience is the willingness to say, okay, I can put out that marshmallow for just a little bit longer. Patience is the willingness to say, I trust that God is in control of this situation. That He's in control of my life. That I will give Him time to do what He needs to do in my life to make me the person He has created me to be. That's what it is. Here's the second thing about patience. Patience is a willingness to wait just a wee bit longer. And secondly, patience is a willingness to give others room to grow. It's a willingness to give others room to grow. The worst thing that could happen for any of us would be that God should suddenly decide to be as impatient with you and me as we are with one another. Can you imagine if God were impatient? Can you imagine if God all of a sudden said, okay, I'm done with you guys. If God were to say, I've had enough of you. I've had enough of your sin. I've had enough of your disobedience. I've had enough of your rebellion. We'd be in a heap of trouble, wouldn't we? We would be. But God is merciful. And God is long-suffering. God is patient. He is patient. He is the model for patience. You see, our patience grows thin very easily in how we relate to others. We see it in traffic. We see it in the line at the supermarket. We see it in the waiting room. And if you make someone wait, you're probably going to hear about it. That's the kind of world we're in right now. If you're involved in retail and you're making people wait, you're going to hear about it, because it's not good for the business for people to wait, for people to be inconvenienced. You see, our impatience with others includes an unspoken subtext. And what it's really saying is this, and it is a fundamental flaw in our society, in our culture, in our existence right now. And it's this. It's saying that I am better than you are. I am more important than you are. Therefore, I deserve to be at the front of the line, not you. That's where we're at now. An impatient person might say, I'm about to pull into your parking space at Walmart. I should have to carefully put your, you shouldn't have to carefully put your groceries in the trunk and return the shopping cart to the shopping cart station and buckle your child in the car seat and adjust your rear view mirror before you finally decide to back out. Guess what? I need that parking spot and I need it now, and you're holding me up. So get a move on, lady. Saw someone like that the other day. I shouldn't have to wait because my time is valuable and you're wasting it. That's the culture we're in. That's what we're in right now. Back in the 60s, people came out with this slogan, please be patient. God isn't finished with me yet. You ever hear that? Please be patient. God isn't finished with me yet. And so true. God is not finished with me yet. And I'm thankful that I can be reminded through His Word that I need to be patient, that I need the fruit of patience in my life. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, it says, be kind and compassionate with one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Kind and compassionate with one another. And in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2, this is an important one. Be, and this is a directive, this is a command. Paul says, be completely humble and gentle. Be what? Patient. Be patient. Bearing with one another in love. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. And are we that way? I hope we are. I hope we're growing in that area. I hope we are. And here's the final truth about patience. Number one, patience is a willingness to wait just a wee bit longer. Patience is a willingness to give others room to grow. And thirdly and finally, patience is a willingness to try again. To try again. If you don't succeed, what? Try again. Try again. God has something to say about that. About patience. It's a willingness to try again. When we stop being overly critical of others and we decide to take a closer look at ourselves, it can get discouraging. I am speaking from experience myself. I've been a believer now for 44 years. It's hard to believe. And I still struggle in some of the same areas. See, when we get intentional about our relationship with God, when we get serious about being like Him, I want you to know that there will be times when you and I will have to deal with discouragement head on. I don't need to tell you that. You know it. And holiness and becoming more like Jesus doesn't happen nearly as quickly as we would like. And if you don't believe me, just try it. Patience is like holiness. Did you know that? Holiness and patience kind of go together. If you want to be patient, you can be holy. If you want to be holy, be patient. It's a process that develops over time. Doesn't come easy because we're all wired differently. We're all unique. We're created specially in the image of God. And He's created us to take on His attributes, and one of them is patience. It involves a willingness to try again if we fail. How many times have you maybe heard me? I've quoted this verse a few times. In Proverbs 24:16, it says, "For though a righteous man falls seven times, he rises again." He rises again. And it doesn't matter if you fall seven times or 47 times or 4,700 times. God says you will rise again. And the difference between the righteous and the unrighteous is that the righteous get back up. You stand up again and you keep moving. If you fall, you get up. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6 is one of my favorite verses. It's kind of a theme verse. And this is what Paul says. That he who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Or will carry it on until the day of Jesus Christ. He who began good work in you. When God saved you, did He begin a good work in you? Did He? Was it something positive for you or was it something negative? Tell me. When God saved you, did He begin a good work in you? Hey, I see some thumbs up. Hey, two thumbs up. If you're a believer, your both thumbs ought to be up and your big toes ought to be standing up too. Amen? Amen. He began a good work in you. God will not begin a bad work in you. When God begins a work, it'll be a good work. It'll be a positive work. It will be something that will change your life forever. It'll be something that will bring forth eternal truth and eternal faithfulness and eternal fruitfulness. He who began a good work in you, He's going to complete it. He's going to help you carry it through. He's not going to give up on you halfway. But He says, I will complete it. Carry it through. God is in the business of carrying things through. And so this is our challenge this morning. Patience. And oh, how we need it. Do you need it? Do you? Come on, wake up, church. Do you need patience? Yes. I need it too. But only God can help us. Let's pray and ask Him to give us more of it. Father, thank You for Your Word. What a broad subject this is. We thank You, Lord, that You're not slack concerning Your promises, but will carry through Your Word. And Father, I pray that every single one of us would reach out to You and Lord, become patient people, and that the fruit of the Spirit would be filling our lives with great satisfaction. And others would see Jesus in us and through us. Lord, this is our prayer today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we're going to sing our last.